Welcome back to our shir. For Masiyot, to remember the story of the Chacham Etam. So we speak about the Tam. He said he had all kinds of food, all drinks, had all the clothing imaginable. He said to his wife, "My wife, give me to eat." She would give him a piece of bread and he would eat. After this, he would say, "Give me legumes and sauce." She would cut him another slice of bread. He would eat. He would pray to say how fine and tasty was that sauce. He would also order it to bring meat and other delicacies. And each time she gave him a slice of bread, they took great pleasure from this, praising each food, saying how well she prepared it and delicious it was. As if he was eating the actual food. And in truth, he actually tasted in the bread the taste of each food he wanted, because of his simplicity and his greatness. He would also order his wife, "My wife, give me beer to drink." She would give him water, and he would praise her. "How wonderful this beer is. Let me have honey." She gave him water, and he would praise it as before. "Give me wine," and so on. Each time, she would give him water, and he would enjoy and praise the beverage of it, as if he were really drinking it. So we know in the Midbar, the Jewish people, they ate man. They ate, it says, lechem beer was like angel food. We know, Chazal tell us, but whatever taste the person wanted it to taste like, that's what it tasted like by the man. Right? So here also he believed that everything was from Hashem. Every single thing is from Hashem. Hashem wants me to have bread and water. That's the best for me. And he enjoyed it, and he was happy with it. Rabbi Natan al-Kutal al-Khot says that a person, even us, we could taste anything we imagine, even while eating bread and water. And sometimes you find very simple people that they enjoy their bread and water more than these big kings enjoy their food. These big kings, they have a lot of food, they have so much, they don't enjoy so much, they just sit there eating. A stone that doesn't have so much, they have a meager piece of bread and water, they eat it and they enjoy it much more than the people who have a lot of food enjoy their food. And meaning they end up on a much higher spiritual level. People who are simple, Hashem didn't give them so much money to have so much food. They end up on a higher spiritual level. They don't have to be involved in all the mundane world and so much, and they're not so involved in the food. It says people, Jewish people, learn Torah and holiness. They are capable of tasting any flavor in the bread and water if they just want bread and water. Even in the bread and water, you could taste whatever we want. Like Rav Nachman teaches us in Likutei Moran, someone who serves Hashem can have a blessing in his bread and water, and it can taste whatever he needs, even all the medicines he needs. The person on the right spiritual level, Hashem can send the healing. Why do I have to go take a certain pill? Hashem wants, he could put the healing in this piece of bread that I'm eating right now. And Rav Nachman, even in Likutei Tefillos, he says, he davens to Hashem, help me eat the things that are going to help me, that give me refuah. Sometimes we have sicknesses we don't even know about. We could eat, and the refuah, the healing, to be in the food. So a person who has that water can be happy. Hashem gives me bread and water. I'm happy with bread and water. I'm happy because this is what Hashem wants for me. And even us, we could enjoy bread and water and imagine what that it has very nice tastes, very good tastes. Is that it? But unfortunately, in the world, on the other hand, you find entire cultures that a lot of their culture involves eating. Instead of we eating helping us sustain our life, helping us get along with life, right? To eat that strength to live, they live to eat, right? Instead of eating to live, they live to eat. Their whole life, a lot of their life revolves around eating. And they just call it, instead of calling it a lust for food, and then you run after their bodily desires, they come up with all fancy names for it. They come up with names of gastronomy, culinary arts. Basically, it's all just fancy words from the Sahara of lust for food. And they make a whole religion out of it. They make a whole focus, such a big focus. And they give it nice names. They shouldn't say sound like, "Oh, I run after my desires." Also with clothing. The same thing with clothing. Right? The same thing with clothing. He and his wife, they shared one coat. He shared one winter coat. Oh, they had one winter fur coat. He would say, "My wife, give me my coat," when he needed to wear a fur coat. and he had to go to the market, she would give it to him. He needed to wear a suit jacket. He was going out for occasions. He would say, "My wife, give me a suit jacket." She would give him the fur coat. He would praise her how fine the suit is. And he needed a different type of garment to go out to shul. He said, "My wife, give me my kaftan." She would give him the fur coat and he would praise it, saying how fine this kaftan is. He needed to wear a formal overcoat. She also would give him the fur coat and he would praise the delighter, how fine and beautiful this overcoat is. And so on, he was always filled with joy and gladness. He was always happy. Many times when it comes to clothing, we think we have to have nice clothing. Because when we meet people, that's how they view us, right? They view us by our clothing. Their first impression, before they even see us, they view us by our clothing. So it's so important what people are going to think of us. And therefore, we have to make sure to dress very fancy and make sure to wear nice, very nice clothing to impress people, because this is going to be our first impression. So you would think someone would say that all they have is one coat. They always wear the same jacket at Shabbos, it's weekday, they go to a wedding. All the time, they have one coat. They're always wearing the same thing. Right? You would think he should be upset. He should be very down. Oh, people view me so negatively. They view me as a tattered person and a pauper, as he knows it. They're going to view me negatively. But over here, the time he has self-confidence. He had confidence. Now, Hashem is with me. He knew who he was. Hashem is with me. I'm trying to serve Hashem. He was always very happy. Even when people ridiculed him, he was still very joyous. Because he was joyous. This is what Hashem wants. How can he be happy? He says, Ezehu Asher, who's the rich man? Hashem, someone who's happy with his lot in life. I'm happy with everything Hashem gives me. If it's good, if it's negative, if it's positive, if I've had it, if I don't have it. Right? And even when it comes to competition, fine, this is where Hashem made me. Other people are dressed nicer. Fine. This is how Hashem gave me. That must be the best for me. But we learn even more over here that since he was happy with what he had, this gave him self-confidence, right? Since on his own he was happy at Emuna, this must be the best thing for me. See, if he has the same coat, it looks silly. Everywhere he goes with the same fur coat. Imagine you go to a wedding and have a fur coat. You go to shul with the same coat everywhere you go. It looks silly. But since he felt that Hashem gives me exactly what's perfect, therefore he was happy. This gave him confidence. And even when other people degraded him, he didn't care. He was still happy. Because if he's clear, if a person is clear, this is Hashem's will, this is what Hashem wants, this is perfect, then nothing can bother you. So people look at you fine, people will laugh at you, who cares? If I'm confident that I'm serving Hashem, and Hashem gave me exactly what's good for me, I don't have to be insulted if people look down at me, people look at me negatively because I don't have what they have. Okay, but this is what's best for me. So this gives a person confidence. A person, we lose confidence when we see other people have more, when we feel like we have to compete. But we realize that what I have is the best for me. I don't have any reason for competition. What I have is best for me. Hashem gave it best for me. I don't need to be embarrassed. Other people have more than me. Fun. Hashem gave me what's best for me. But we have to come with that confidence. We have to come with that happiness. Hashem gave me exactly what's good for me. Right? We have to be happy with our lot in life. And once we connect with Hashem, then we know the truth. And we know that other people's opinions are meaningless. He's so happy that not only doesn't he get insulted from other people, he even helps other people be happy. Right? You see, people are happy, your mood has it has an effect on other people. Every person's mood has an effect on the people surrounding them. Yeah. So one person who reaches the moon and sees the truth and they feel confident, that Hashem gave me, this must be the best way. He can be so happy inside. And not only does he have to feel competitive with other people, his joy could spread out to the other people also. On the other hand, someone who lacks the Emunah is always emotionally dependent on others. Which means, I always have to compete. I need to live off their other people's compliments. Right? That's what I have to live off of. Because I have no confidence on my own. I'm not happy with my lot in life. So then I have to always be looking at the competition, looking out better than everyone else. I have to be in the competition, always proving myself better. Which is not really proving myself, I'm really begging everyone else to prove to me that I'm a good person. I'm competing with them, I need everybody else, I care about others' opinions. This means I'm so lacking, I'm only going to be happy if other people approve of me. That's the only way I'm going to be happy. On the other hand, one who has emunah says, whatever Hashem gives me is good. My happiness comes from the fact Hashem is taking care of me. That's where my happiness comes from. Not for the fact that I'm competing with other people and other people give me kavod, other people give me honor. I feel like I'm in with everyone else. which means for us to get attention, we need to ask Hashem, Hashem, I shouldn't need attention from everyone else. Help me, I should have enough confidence in myself. I should have my own confidence. I shouldn't need it to come from the outside. Help me, my confidence, my security should come from the inside. From my emunah in you, that everything you gave me is good, every single thing you gave me is perfect, my situation is perfect. Every person on their level, we could try to be like the top, like the simple one. Every person, and especially in coming to dress, we should dress the way we're supposed to dress. If a person is more religious, they should dress in the way religious Jews act. The person is becoming more observant. He should be strong to wear a yarmulke all the time. Every person on their level. So here in the book, Rabbi Arsh brings a story of a someone named Shimon. Shimon was one of Rabbi Nathan's closest students. Even though his father opposed of him being connected to Rabbi Nathan, he used to go to him every single week to third, he would go to him every week. He would sneak away from his house and go to Rabbi Nathan every week. One time, Shimon's father realized what's going on. So, on Shabbos afternoon, his father took away his clothing and locked him in a room. He locked him in a room because he knew he would escape through the window. He knew his son. He said he had such an urge to go to Rabbi Nathan, he would even go out through the window if I lock him in his room. So he took away his clothing and locked him in a room so he won't leave. But as time came, time for Sudasha Rashid, he was wanted so badly. I want to come close to Rabbi Nathan. He's helping me so much spiritually, my spiritual guide. See, he looked at his closet and he found clothing from old clothing of Ukrainian peasants that his father took for a collateral for a loan. Some Ukrainian peasant took a loan from his father. And so he said, what are you going to give me? So he gave him some of his clothing. So without hesitating, Shimon put on the peasant's clothing and he jumped out the window. Making a beeline, he went straight to Rabbi Nathan's shul. And he arrived just when Rabbi Nathan started giving his shir. And so what happened? He ran in, he was so excited, he burst down the door, he ran in. So when everyone saw Shimon dressed like that, they all started laughing. Rabbi Nathan was very serious. He looked and nodded at slowly. He was not amused. He saw was his dedication to Torah and his Rebbe. And Nathan told him, someday I'm going to do for you an eternal favor in return for your dedication. Also we see the contrast between the simple one and the clever one. The clever one always found fault in everything and everyone. He couldn't even talk to anyone. He couldn't have a conversation. The simple one saw everything perfect. He looked at the good in everyone. He looked at the good in every single person. Because he had emunah. He saw everything and at the lens that everything's perfect. Everything that he tasted was sweet. Even dry old bread was the best in the world. Even his coat, which was all tattered old coat, he was happy. The other end, the chacham, the clever one, nothing ever satisfied him. All his money, right? Everything he had money, he had clothing, he could have bought all the food, right? Because his gaiva and his kfira, since he was so arrogant, and his heresy, there were iron walls, they prevented him from being happy. So in life, we have two options. What's one option? One option is, we could try to live with emunah, believe everything's from Hashem, it's for my benefit, and it's for the best. Work on emunah, try to be happy, grow in happiness, be happy with our lot of life in general, and then try to work with it, and day to day, minute to minute, try to keep on focusing on being happy. First of all, our outlook, general outlook in life is Hashem gave me what's best for me. Also, specifically throughout the day, try to be happy. Try to accept everything from Hashem. What's the other option? A person could refuse that it's really Hashem guiding my life. They could think it's my fault, I messed up, I did it. Right? And they're doubting that everything comes from Hashem. And it's for the best, for their ultimate welfare. He thinks, I did it. I made a mistake. I did Avirus. I messed up. Such a person keeps blaming himself for his mistakes, ending up becoming sad and depressed. And he's never happy. Even when he's a little bit successful, then he becomes a guy. So if he's successful, if you don't work in the Emunah, how does your life work? When you're successful, you become arrogant, right? When you have failures, you become depressed. That's what happens to the Emunah. When it's going good, then I think it's Hashem. I think, oh, it's me. And they become inflated with arrogance, which is not a good life. And then they're upset, everything doesn't go their way. Other when they have failures, then they become depressed. So of course, the first way is a better way of life. We try to make the first way, try to live with the munah. I believe in Hashem. Hashem is going to help me. Hashem is with me in general. Hashem is with me specifically, Ishkacha Pratit, every single step of my life. Hashem is helping me. Now we continue the story about going back to the work of the tar, of the simpleton. When he would finish his shoot, usually it would have a triangular form because he wasn't such a professional. He would take the shoe in his hand and praise it so highly and would take it to take great delight in it. He would say, "My wife, how beautiful and wonderful this shoe is. How sweet it is. This shoe is as sweet as honey and sugar." So this is one of the main messages we find in this story. That when he looked at the imperfections, and his own imperfections, and what seemed to be his own failures, and he was still happy with it. Because that's what Reb Nachman always wants to teach us. A person has to be happy with their lot in life, no matter how imperfect it is, physically and spiritually. We have to be happy with our lot in life. It doesn't mean to be a fool. Over here, the simpleton knew that he was lacking. He knew his shortcomings. He knew that he lacked IQ, and he knew that he was a slow learner. So how can one be happy? If I'm a slow learner, how could I be happy? The emunah enabled him to be happy all the time. He knew that if he had a shortcomings, it was because Hashem created him. Because that's what he needed for his soul correction to fulfill his mission on this earth. Therefore, he said, "This is perfect. If this is the situation Hashem gave me, even though it's considered lacking, and it must be to the best, it must be for me, this is perfect. This is what I needed for my tikkun. So it must be, for me, this is perfect. And this is going to help me do the tikkun and fulfill my job that Hashem sent me to do." So therefore, he can be happy, even with his limited intellect and learning ability, because they were all tools to help him accomplish his goal, to accomplish his life's mission. Right? He knew very well that his slow brain and his slow abilities, and he knew they'll create difficulties for him in life. He knew he had to work much harder than everyone else. He knew even after all his hard work, his product came out inferior to everyone else. He barely had time to eat. He had to share a coat with his wife. All this, he stuck to the emunah. Whatever shortcomings he had were for Hashem, it's for his ultimate benefit. His emunah that was so strong helped him be happy even with his own faults, his own three-pointed shoe. Because for him, this is considered perfect.